Greetings, students. Today, you're sitting with Adam, the Academic Officer 2026. Joining us is Miss Almarie and the President Lehumo Dibakwane. So today we will have an in-conversation with the SRC understanding academic exclusions. Over to you, Miss Almarie.
Good day, everyone. I'm Almarie Vermeulen, and I'm currently from the Student Enrollment Centre. However, I worked for about 25 years in academic administration in the faculties. And today we are going to address a very important aspect in a student's life, and that is academic exclusions. Adam and Lehumo is going to ask me questions, and I'm going to answer them for you to give you some idea of what is an academic exclusion and how to handle the whole process.
Thank you, Ms. Almarie. I think it's very important we have this podcast, or rather this conversation, because most students are really confused. What is academic exclusion? What is an F7? What is an L2? So today we'll be covering most of the things. And beginning, we'll just ask a simple question. What exactly is an academic exclusion status, and what does it mean for a student?
An academic exclusion is a status that a student is given based on academic progress. Remember, all our students are selected. We are using a ranking system in UJ, and our students who registered are the best of the best. But sometimes something goes wrong along the line and they get an academic exclusion. An academic exclusion is purely based on academic progress. The faculty officer is looking at the academic progress of a student, and if the student is not progressing well, then they will get a warning first, and the warning means you have to pass your modules that you are registered for. And if you don't pass the modules you are registered for after you've gotten a warning, then you are going to get an academic exclusion. An academic exclusion is exactly what it is. You are excluded to continue with your academics. However, a student can appeal the academic exclusion.
Okay. What are the common reasons students receive an academic exclusion?
As I've said, an academic exclusion is based on academic progress. The faculty will look at how many years a student is registered for a specific qualification. Will the student be able to complete the qualification in the extended time given? I'll come back to extended time given. The number of modules passed, warnings given, repeated failure of modules, readmission after a successful appeal, but the student who do not meet the readmission conditions will get L2 at the end. I've spoken about extended time. Normally, a normal degree or diploma is 3 years. If it's an extended qualification, it's 4 years. Now, what the university is doing, we are giving students who are doing a 3-year qualification 5 years to complete. And the extended qualification, that's normally 4 years, we give them 6 years to complete. So you will get a warning when the faculty is seeing that you are not going to complete within 3 years. And then they are going to try and help you to be able to complete within 5 years if it's a 3-year qualification, or 6 years if it's a extended qualification.
You know, most students confuse academic exclusion and L2 cases. What's really the difference?
An academic exclusion is the first thing, or the whole complete first thing will be you get a warning. If you then, after you've received a warning, do not pass, you will get an academic exclusion, of which you can then submit an appeal. Because an academic exclusion is based on academic progress only, the faculty officer assigning an academic exclusion doesn't know of any other thing that might have happened in your life, any hardship that you might have in your life. And therefore, students with an academic exclusion gets the opportunity to submit an appeal. When they appeal, they have to explain what went wrong so that they didn't progress academically well, and then what they can do about it. Once they've submitted their appeal saying what went wrong and what they can do about it, then the faculty will look at it and decide if they can readmit the student or not. When the student is readmitted, they have to sign conditions for readmissions. The conditions will typically be: you have to attend classes, you have to attend your tutorials and practicals, you have to pass your modules, you have to go see SciCat if necessary, you have to attend additional courses, things like that that can help you with your academic progress. Then, after receiving an academic exclusion, being readmitted, getting or signing the readmission conditions, and the student fail again, then they will get an L2. And the L2 is the buck stops here. When you got the L2, then it's done and over. Then your time at the university is unfortunately over. And then you cannot re-enter the academics, or you cannot appeal again.
Yes. So, where you just left off, you would get a lot of students that would say, I was never warned about me getting an F7. So, on a status point of view, what is the wording on the exam results that show that now you've officially received your academic exclusion warning? You're not yet academically excluded, but you had a warning side of it.
It will say your status when you go to your academic record on ULink. It will say warning, you have to pass all your modules. So if you get a warning in the middle of the year, it means that the modules you are registered for the second semester, you have to pass all of them at the end of the year. That is a warning. And students are so excited, they just want to see their results. They forgot to have a look and see what is the status that is saying you can continue with your studies, or you are academically excluded, or you get a warning.
In most cases, students believe submitting supporting documents threatens their appeal request. What kind or what type of evidence are usually accepted?
When you submit an appeal, the most important thing is to say, what went wrong? Why is my academic progress not satisfactory? What went wrong that I have a poor academic record? And then the second important thing is to explain, what am I going to do about it? Because if there's something preventing you from doing well in your studies and you don't do anything about it, then your situation is not changing. Now, about supporting documents, you actually don't have to submit any supporting documents if it's not necessary. But if it's going to strengthen your case, yes, then you can submit a supporting document. Now, in which cases will it strengthen your case? For example, if you've been hospitalized for an extensive period of time, then it will help if you add a doctor's note or a hospital report or something like that. But other than that, it's not really necessary. It's not about the evidence. It is about what went wrong and the steps that you are going to take to remedy the problem.
Thank you. I think we covered most of the things. Now, can we move to the academic performance? Is there a minimum academic performance level required for a student to successfully appeal?
Yes, there is a minimum academic performance. The big question is, will the student be able to complete in maximum time? Now, maximum time, I've explained to you, that is 5 years for a 3-year qualification. However, ideally, we want all our students to graduate after 3 years or after 4 years if it's an extended qualification. Now, if you are beyond your 3 years, the question will be, will the student be able to complete in maximum time? Does the student still have first-year subjects outstanding while he or she is already in third year? Are any of the failed subjects prerequisites for other subjects, and that will create a problem that you won't be able to complete in maximum time. Now, I can give you an example. If a student is in his third year and still failing, let's say, accounting one for an accountancy student, if you try 3 years to pass accounting one, how long is it going to take you to pass accounting two and three, which are more difficult than accounting one? In a case like that, you might get an academic exclusion because you won't be able to complete in 5 years anymore.
And I guess there are most common mistakes students make. What are the common mistakes do they make when submitting exclusion appeals?
Most common mistakes that students are making when they submit the appeals. First thing is, they are trying to write long essays, or they try to get a professional person who will write the appeal, or they nowadays ask AI to write an appeal for them. It's not necessary. It must come from the heart. You know what went wrong with your academics during the semester. So you must say, my poor academic performance is because of, and you give your reasons and be very specific. Don't say, I didn't study hard enough. Of course, that will be one of the reasons, but be very specific. What are the reasons why you could not study hard enough? And then another very important thing is to give a solution. What are you going to do about the problem? Don't say, I'll try harder. Of course, we will try harder, but how are you going to try harder? What is your plan for the future? How are you going to rectify this problem? That is the important thing. So the biggest mistakes, trying to write long essays, trying to write a professional 10-page document, it's not needed. Keep it short and simple. Explain what went wrong, what are you going to do about it?
And I think that's very important, because you'd get students after they receive unfavorable academic exclusion results now coming to say that, no, I forgot to put this and this item in my academic exclusion. But moreover, so during the time when a student is academically excluded to when they are readmitted, what should they do? And when can at most times they anticipate to receive their results of their academic exclusions?
There's a specific timeline where they can submit their academic exclusions. Please do it during that time. If you think you have supporting documents to submit, do it. You cannot submit it later. So if you think it might help your case, submit it. Then faculties differ in size. There are smaller faculties, there are bigger faculties. So normally after the due date of the submission of the appeals, faculties will start to have their appeal meetings. And then some faculties might only have one meeting, and they will communicate with the students. They will let you know via normally either SMS, but mostly SMS, alternatively email. So make sure that your telephone number on the UJ system is your current number. Because if you say, but my number has changed, that's not a valid excuse to say, but I've never received my outcome. Make sure your phone number is updated on the UJ system. Some bigger faculties, they might have more meetings. So they are going to have 3, 4, or 5 meetings, and that might be a week or two. So what do you have to do in the meantime? Just be patient and wait. The faculty will let you know. The idea is to complete the appeals process before the academic year is starting again in the next semester. Then another very important thing is, although you might be academically excluded, but you have a supplementary, work hard, study hard, go write those supplementaries. Passing those supplementary exams might be to your benefit. So what do you have to do after submitting an appeal? Just be patient. If you have a supplementary, go study and write it.
I think another thing, outside of the process, you'd get a student that would say, I am academically excluded, but then I'm not ready to come back for the second semester. So we get a lot of students who just pack their bags and leave and not appeal. So how long do I have to appeal? And do I have to communicate to the faculty if I do not feel like coming back for the second semester after I've been excluded? And what processes should I follow as someone that is particularly not ready? I want to solve my issues first.
That is a very, very important question. Most of the appeals is for the next semester, readmission for the next semester, or at the end of the year, readmission for next year. I can understand if you decide, shoo, I need a break. In that case, please inform the faculty. Submit your appeal. The appeal might be successful, but then inform the faculty. Reason being, they still, if you drop out for 6 months, that still counts as part of your 5 years to complete your qualification. So if you decide not to take up the successful appeal and come back, then please inform the faculty so that they can make a note of it and that you can work out a plan for the future.
And I guess the university is doing an incredible job by providing resources and support. What kind of support can students use to avoid finding themselves being in an academic exclusion situation again?
Another very important question. The university does not know if you have a problem, whatever the problem might be. So all the structures, the support that the university is providing to our students are for free. If you feel that your life is spinning out of control, we have PsyCAD. You just have to go to them and make an appointment to see somebody. There's nothing wrong in getting help. There's also the UJ clinics specifically for our students. There are specific online courses provided by ADC, which will help you with time management, financial management, how to build mind maps for my studies, study methods, things like that. You must ask for help. Remember, no one knows if you are walking with something inside you that is unresolved. You need help, but you don't ask for help. So it comes from within. If you have a problem, please ask. Please seek for help.
All right. Thank you so much. I think we've said a mouthful and we've equipped students with so much information to appeal their F7s from when you receive an F5, which is an academic exclusion warning, to when you get excluded and what you should do when you're excluded. You must go write your supplementary items. And I'd also just like to further reiterate what you said, to say that it's not all academic exclusions that need documentations, because we have a student that says, I do not know what happened. I don't have any documentation. So we just want to assert to say that you can write it, just be concise and straight to the point. And most importantly, as we normally see it in some of the F7 cases, would have students producing or generating fraudulent documents. So if you have no reason that needs any documentation, just write your, just articulate yourself nicely. And that brings us to the end of In Conversation with the SRC. And we're speaking all things that have to do with academic exclusions with Mrs. Elmer.
Thank you very much, Adam and Leomo.
No, thank you so much.
Thank you.